in some way, I have kind of an uphill battle since we're working against Stephen and Tom's lessons concerning social media usage. However, I think most of us have a good distinction in our minds of what is not profitable concerning social media and what can be profitable concerning social media. And so we're going to be talking about that as we talk about this idea of digital door knocking. Just to give you an idea of what we are going to be discussing as far as the lessons are concerned this morning, we're going to be starting with the idea of branding. Now, I'm going to have to start with this. I'm going to be using some marketing terms, but understands that we're making a transition here from the marketing world into the spiritual world and trying to utilize what they have of value to help churches to be able to, as Sam was just praying, spread the message of the gospel to the lost. So that's our focus. Then we're going to be talking about platform, where it is that we should be in order to push the message of the gospel forward. Then we're going to be moving into advertising. This is where I am basically, if you don't know, for the last 2 years, my wife and I have been running a business concerning advertising for churches and for local businesses as well. And so that is where I'm utilizing some of what was trained in during college, but also have been training in for the last couple of years in that regard. So that's why Dad asked me to do these lessons in particular. And so I'm going to be showing you exactly what it is that I do in that lesson so that you can just take it and use it. Because I've been telling churches for the last 2 years, if you can do it on your own, I want you to. I don't want you to have to pay me for things that you can do on your own. And so that is what we're going to be talking about on that third session. And then on that last is some common questions that I've heard, but I'm going to open up the floor to you guys because I know that there's probably going to be some questions that you might have that I can hopefully help to address. So let's first just go into the realm of branding. So a product, if I could put branding in this type of terminology, because I do want us to recognize that there is a need for branding in a way, even within the church. Branding is simply this. A product is what you sell. A brand is the perceived image of that product that you sell. And branding is the strategy that you're going to use to create that image. Because you don't want the image to be created for you from the outside sphere of who you are. You want to be able to push forward the image of who you are from within. You don't want everyone else to decide who it is that you are if you can help it. Now, sometimes you're not going to be able to help it. For instance, during COVID, again, this is not in order to go to the politics of this at all, but it is something that demonstrates the idea of branding. During COVID, there was a congregation that they did not do anything of change. And so because of that, there was a COVID outbreak within that congregation. And whether or not you think that was right or wrong, there was talk within the grocery stores even that next week saying how horrible that congregation is and that they're killing people in our community. That is not the brand that you want to be pushed forward, regardless of your political stance. And so in which case that there's going to be sometimes that other people choose your brand for you. And again, I want to be very clear. When I'm using the term brand, I'm just saying the image that is put forward about who it is that you are. All right. So this is what I generally see, what I've seen over the last several years, is generally what churches really need help with in regard to social media, is they first need help with branding. Because branding is vision. Who are you as a church? That's a question that I don't think enough churches are actually asking themselves. Who are you as a church? How do you get there of who you want to be as a church? How do you get to that point? And then, how do you communicate who you are or who you want to be to other people? These questions are the questions that marketing companies ask concerning branding. Is who are you as a company? What are your best points that we can then draw out and be able to put forward as an image to the community? Now, there's sometimes, eventually, that there's going to be a point where even in your local community, people know you as well as they know the Nike swoosh. The Nike swoosh has an image of branding that when you see that, you immediately have some sort of emotional trigger that takes place with that. And what I want to ask is, whenever someone sees the name Pepper Road Church of Christ, what is the immediate thought that they have in their mind? What are the immediate emotions that they are projecting forward about you? And some people tend to think that this aspect is not really necessary. Because what is the often objection to this idea is that we have the Bible, and the Bible gives us our branding. But the question is, in your local community, who's actually reading the Bible? That they then can decide who you are. Hardly anybody. There's 76%, something like that, the dad said has said before, of people that want to know the Bible. But how many of those people are actually reading the Bible to know who it is that you're trying to be? And who it is that you're trying to be is not necessarily who you are. As Titus chapter 2 and verses 9 through 14 state, so yes, Josh, you do need your Bible for a moment at least. Titus chapter 2, he asked. In verse 9 it says, "Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the gospel or the doctrine of God our Savior." Now, I like the illustration that puts it this way. When you adorn something, you're putting it on to make something look beautiful. So a woman adorns a necklace. And whenever she does that, it not only elevates the image of the woman, but it elevates the image of the item itself. And so when we adorn the doctrine of Christ, we are putting it on like a beautiful piece of jewelry. And when we put it on, what does it then do? It ought to become more beautiful to those that see who you are. And you go through the rest of the text and you see some of those aspects. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good deeds." That's branding. That is God instructing us, this is who you need to be, this is who my people are, and this is what you need to put on like a piece of jewelry so the rest of the world can see who I want you to be. So in a lot of ways, yes, you're right, God has done a lot of branding for us, but there are also times when congregations are not going to be equal to one another in all ways. That there are some things that Stone Canyon, where I'm at, we're going to be more elevated in, that we spend more time in this particular aspect, or we are stronger in these areas but weaker in these areas, and you are going to put forth a brand for your church. But what is the look of who that is? When you're adorning the gospel of Christ, what is it that people see? And so the question that I ask is, if you don't know who your church is, how will anyone else know? If you don't know as a people within your congregation who you are and your strengths that you possess, then how are you going to be able to tell other people this is who we are. This is what we're all about. It's sometimes that I talk to congregations, and I use this as kind of just an obvious example. Whenever I'm talking to congregations and they're asking about advertising and if I can help them, I just say, part of, and we're going to talk about messaging, but part of this, the strongest point that we need to have down pat is our messaging. What it is that we're saying to other people whenever we're doing this advertising. And so, say for instance, that I put forward in the messaging that I'm writing for you guys is, this is a very welcoming group of people. When, you know, if we were to say something like Olive Garden, when you're here, you're family, right? If we were to say something like that, but then when they walk in the door, they're friendly, but only to each other, then I've actually lied to everyone in the community about who you are. So there's two options here. Either we don't say that, or the better option, we start doing that and it become part of our culture, of who we are. Culture is branding. Branding is vision. Who is it that you are? So in today's culture, just Bible verses that you put up on your social media likely is not enough when we're talking about branding. Just Bible verses. Now, I will recommend that you do put Bible verses up on social media, but just Bible verses is not likely going to be enough because most people are probably going to tune that out just immediately whenever they see that it is a Bible verse, if they're not entirely interested, but they could become interested. As well, just posting your sermon links, I can guarantee you, is not enough as we're talking about branding. Because when they see that it is a link from Facebook over to YouTube, they're immediately going to just scroll on by. And as we're going to talk about today, stopping the scroll is the most important thing on social media as you are trying to put forward this image of who you are. So I want to ask us to discover our brand. Discover it is who you are as far as what the community thinks that you are. So I want us to look at three different places to discover your brand. First, I want us to look at your website. Who are you saying that you are to the community just based off of your website? Now, I decided on this point not to bring up any Church of Christ websites. However, we could talk later about what I think about probably most Church of Christ websites today, but I did just look at our local community of Owosso, Oklahoma, and I just put on the websites of what it is that are the first hitters that you see, which generally speaking, those are probably going to be the best websites because Google, with their SEO, they try to put the best websites up toward the top because they're running a business as well. So keep that in mind whenever you're building your website, is if it doesn't look pretty, Google's not going to put it at the top of the list when people type in churches near me. They're not going to put it at the top of the list. And so, for instance, Freedom Church is going to come up before you. All right. So as we look at this website, Freedom Church, what do you see here about who this church is, just based on that? What does it say to you? Okay, keep it coming. All right. They have blue. Maybe a little too much blue, in my opinion. But anything else? What else do you see? Okay, happiness. Do see a logo here? So here, let me see if this stylus is going to work. All right, so we see a logo here. We see that people are smiling. You have different age groups of people. Now, here you have that it says real people really loving God and others. But it's kind of one of the hardest things to read on the screen. And so that's part of what you want to keep in mind is, can it actually be read? You look up here at the top and you see some other things. You see I'm new is the first thing. That's a good idea. Is if you're having people come to your website, you want them to know exactly where it is that they should go right from the get-go. All right, so that's just some branding here on these ideas. The logo, just the logo. Oh, it says I'm new. I'm new. So I know that I can click there. No problem. Yeah, on a computer screen, it's not going to be as big of a deal. But yes, I get that. So, all right. What about this one? This is First Church. This is a Christian church in town. Biggest church in town. I'll add that as well. What do you see here? Oh, just sad and despondent. No, of course not. And if it were to actually be the website itself, you would see that this is actually rolling video. Rolling video is kind of going out the door as far as popularity is concerned, just for your knowledge, that it's just kind of going out the door because it's maybe a little too busy of things happening. But okay, so you have people, once again, that are smiling here. What else do you have that you notice? What's that? Okay, love is certainly a concept that's being brought out. Love Jesus, love like Jesus, and that's going to be in what you see among the community of those people as well. What else? All right, there's young people. So as we're thinking about branding, if you're skewing older, it might not be a good idea to have your one young family be the sole thing that you advertise. You want to make sure that you do broaden it out.
So quickly, Adam built our website. And so, like, if you're getting older, so just using that as an example, or if you're like, you've got older members and you're small, one of the things that he said is you don't be ashamed. You know, there's some older people looking for a church. You know, and so his phrase, his expression is, if you've got skeletons in the closet, like we're a small group, make them dance. if you're looking for a small church, we're it. Here we are.
Absolutely. And I will say, actually, with how things are skewing in the religious world today, I think we maybe immediately think that a small church is not what people are looking for. Actually, the way things are skewing right now, that is something that I want to advertise and put out there like crazy. Because I talked to, I did some personal training just last year, and one of the trainers that is there at the facility, she is, I believe, she was 24, and I started telling her about the church that I attend at, and she was like, oh, that sounds so nice to have a family like that. And so people are looking for small churches. Young people are looking for small churches, so don't be concerned about that in particular. All right, so we got a couple of things here as well. You see that they're putting forward a lot of their online stuff. So part of their brand is being online. And that actually is true of this congregation, that they have satellite churches in the small area there, and that the preacher at the main congregation is who goes out, kind of like what Craig Groeschel does with Life Church. Isn't that what it's called? Yeah. So,
are they selling merch?
They are selling merch. But, I mean, that says a little bit about their brand, right? So that is something that people will notice.
The biggest Baptist church in our area, front and center, at the top of their page is giving.
Yeah.
The first thing you can click on is how to give.
Yeah.
You don't even know anything about it, but you can give.
All right, let's...
That was the comment I was going to make, give and merch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does say a lot. Personally, I think that's a huge mistake. I have not seen it on any of the Lord's Church, the True Church websites. But we want your money, but not your people. We don't want to get the message out. It sounds like it's a store.
All right. What about this? What's the brand?
Picture the building instead of the people.
And actually, this is not their building at all. So they took some stock photo here. Yeah, so there's maybe some mixed messaging that's going on there that they want to put forward. All right, what, anything else? Owosso. Owosso. And probably in town, that'd be more obvious whenever people live there. But I get it. I get it from outside.
I mean, it is Owosso's the town, right?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So, that would make sense.
Sure.
If you're not from there, if you're not Pentecostal, there's nothing about that that's appealing. I'm not being ugly. There's nothing about that opening page that's appealing.
Well, if you are Pentecostal,
if you are Pentecostal,
you're getting thrown off. Yeah, you're exactly right. So I think their branding's probably off of who they actually are.
Maybe that's deliberate. That's overly busy.
Welcome to the
2004, everyone. All right, so, hey, look at... What's that?
Is that MySpace?
I want you to notice a few things. One, everyone's talking about just how busy it is. You got horrible fonts going on here that aren't really helping your brand of who you are because no one can read it, even whenever I'm sitting here right at the computer screen. As well, your Adobe Flash player is no longer supported. What does that say about you? Exactly. And you scroll down to the bottom of the page, they don't have that little date that says that this has been updated since this time, probably because they haven't updated it since 2005. All right? So there's a lot of just wrong stuff going on here. Unfortunately, our brethren don't always do much better than this one. and so let's consider our website for our brand. Oh, right, yeah. Quickly.
So I had Truth Magazine CI did a research thing several years ago, and I got an interview, and I was talking to the guy about some of the workbooks and how off-putting they look visually. And he said, yes. He said, you know, people say that the Church of Christ doesn't have a brand. I said, we do. We've had one for a long time. It's called Tacky.
I'll let that one stand. All right, so as you're discovering your congregation's brand, look at your socials. Look at your Facebook page. Look at your Instagram or your lack of Instagram. Look at all of these areas to see what it is that you're projecting to others of who you are. So again, I'm just looking around at my community. This is the Owosso Pentecostal Church that we saw that red background with the traditional look to it. What does just the initial idea here tell you about this church that you can see? All right, so yes, there's babies. So they're trying to appeal to that group of people. What else? Anything else? Very traditional, okay. Yeah.
You guys that have larger congregations, one of the first things that I noticed is they've got 100% recommendation, and you know that's probably their own members, but there's only 12 reviews. And, you know, most of us, our social page, our Facebook page, we've got a good, you know, 4.5-star rating, but there's only a few reviews. Get your members to go in there and review. Get a bunch of reviews on there instead of just 12.
All right, what else? Okay. Is that common that you don't see it?
I was going to a gospel meeting and I was looking on their website, I was looking on Facebook, I could not find the website.
Okay, but let's look at this. What is this advertising to you? What is this saying to you? What are they wanting you to know?
Dedication day, bring your baby.
Yeah, bring your baby because of our dedication day. But here's the point, bring your baby. Part of their brand, and this is thrown throughout this particular Facebook page. I know we're not scrolling right now. Everything is an invitation. So their brand is come, which is almost as bad as your brand being give on your website. And I think that it is a miss that a lot of churches make, is that instead of, let me tell you about who we are, let me give to you information, instead, every single post is take this, or take, come to us, invite to us, come and be a part of our church. And what we even saw back in the early 2000s when we were door knocking is if you invite people, go door knocking and just invite people to church, what they hear in their head is, I already have a church. And so you're trying to steal me from that church. When all we want is them to visit, right? But that's not the brand that we were putting forward whenever we were doing our door knocking, because most people aren't doing door knocking anymore, which as Dad and me both believe that there is an avenue in which you can do door knocking, but if you're only saying, come to my church, you're only taking from them. You're not giving to them first. And so I think that's a miss that that even among ourselves, that all it is a date and time that you can come to us. Let's give to them first. Let's do as what is sometimes said, let us do ministry before marketing. That's how it's sometimes put.
Can I make a quick point? It's when I was doing more Facebook, everybody knows I broke up with Facebook for a long time. But when we would invite, we would still write an article, you know, like come to our class on it, we're going to, you know, this class is going to be, and I would write a two-paragraph article about whatever that topic was so that it's not just come, you know, just not
yes.
A quick ad of come.
Yeah, that's a backdoor invite, and so that's a better way to do it, much better way to do it, is to write an article, give them information that you are putting forward who you are, and then maybe a small note at the bottom of, if you want to hear more about this, we're actually having a talk about this on Sunday. All right, what is this church trying to say about themselves for their Instagram grid?
We got a lot going on.
Got a lot going on. All right. There's events that are taking place. Fun.
Now,
you can be involved, right? That's part of their brand, is they're trying to bring people in, and I don't even remember what church this is, but it's also in Owosso. All right, anything else? Okay, so, and that's a good thought. It's actually when you click on the actual reel that is here, is they had actually helped provide for, they provided some funds for a local community project in the area. A lot of people are looking for that, and that's something that maybe we got to brainstorm about. How can we stay inside of the scriptural bounds while also being able to help the community? Yes, sorry. You were about to say something.
Is that Halloween above it, or what is that?
Yeah, so this is just it's a trending reel that was going through, and they decided to add in their own little idea to that. Now, before you just knock it offhand, is... So we put up a few posts a week on our Facebook. And generally, the things that are going to get the most likes are the fact that just this last week, we just had a little carousel on our Instagram of Bible-based jokes. So why is it that Noah never went fishing? He only had two worms, right? So you throw something up like that, and I know some people feel a little antsy about that idea, but if you can bring up your engagement with something lighthearted like that, which I don't know that I would use this particular reel, but if you can bring something up lighthearted like that, it will help the engagement for the rest of the week on those things that are more substantive content. So there's actually a reason that you might do something like that. Again, I know that that's maybe something that you got to think through a little bit deeper. But what is this saying about our messaging and our brand? All right, and finally, we have the idea here of Discover your brand by asking your community. Ask around. Hey, have you heard about the Stone Canyon Church of Christ? What do you think about that group? Now, what kind of answers might you get? That's probably, might be the most common answer that you get is, I never heard of that church. So here's the question. First of all, is it positive feedback that you get? If it's positive feedback, then great. Let's run with that as far as who we are. If it's negative feedback that you're getting from your community of who they say that you are, okay, what can we do to put forward an image that says who we really want to be? And then if it's neutral, I've never heard of them before, is that positive or net, a net positive or a net negative? What do you think? Okay, go ahead, expound. Oh, did you say that? Tom, expound.
You're not pushing anything forward. So, if you're standing still, you're moving backwards.
Okay, all right.
It could be an opportunity, too, because they don't have any negative feelings about you either. So
there's no preconceived ideas.
You've got an empty vessel to fill.
Right, very good. All right, so maybe there is an opportunity there. Rick? Absolutely. If you know that someone is going to have objections to you, whether it be specifically or broadly speaking, I want to deal with those objections first thing so that they can move on and be able to actually get it who it is that we actually are. Compared to a lot of churches of Christ, probably that's accurate.
Right. But I suspect it's mostly brethren. And I don't want to destroy that, between our YouTube and our sermon podcast and everything, we probably get, I would say, around 100, listens or, interactions per sermon average. Mm-hmm. Some of them are significantly more than that. So I don't want to destroy that, but I don't think it's very visitor-friendly. Like for somebody from the community to click on that, it feels very normal and comfortable for a member of the church to look at our website. It feels very foreign. So what do you suggest on that?
So can I just use Pepper Road?
Sure.
Pepper Road, their website, like many churches of Christ, looks very much 2010-ish.
Say the word.
Huh?
Congregate.
I want to be careful because I actually work with the congregation that the guy is there that runs Congregate, so I want to be careful. But it can be difficult. And so if we could just even update to, like what we saw with First Church, just the look of it, not all the doodads that they had on there as well, but just the look of it, just to simplify. Even for our brethren, if we simplify a website, do you think that our brethren are going to be upset by that? No, they're probably going to appreciate that. Even just updating the website just to come up to the simplification that has taken place with the 2020s.
So there's a simple landing page where it's not, because we got a ton of stuff on our front.
Yeah, generally speaking, websites that I see with churches is there's too much going on. There's too much going on. And so I think everyone would appreciate, not just visitors, but everyone would appreciate a simplification. Quickly. Yeah, custom. If you do it custom, yeah, but even the ones that I've seen that are custom are still maybe only come up to 2015 as far as updated is concerned. And so.
And he doesn't have to worry about that because the brethren won't tacky, so he's good to go. He doesn't
have to. Moving on. All right, so.
You guys know this is going to be posted online.
We do have to move on, so, real quick. I would say early 2010s. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about discovering our community, because this is important for our branding as well. Who are we actually talking to? So we need to learn our community's fears, our community's concerns. What excites our community? What motivates our particular community? It does not matter to me what's happening in North Carolina on the whole, because I got to think about what is Owosso, Oklahoma thinking about, right? So there's a lot of ways that we could go about that. First of all, is just some general research. You can look at this book. It's called The Great De-Churching. I talked to Stephen about this a few weeks ago as well. This is much more broad. So if you're looking for particular areas, this may not be the best book, but in a broad sense, this book gives you the answers of this is why people are leaving churches in general in America right now. And sometimes they do give a particular region of what their categories of people are. As well, to get a little bit more specific, I would recommend what is called the Know Your Community Report from Church Answers. This is Tom Rainer that does this. They have some, what is it called whenever, proprietary. They have some proprietary ability to utilize a spread of that this is Owosso, Oklahoma. This is where our church is, right here. And then this red area is a 10-minute driving distance. So that is specific, that they're trying to get a 10-minute driving distance, not just a radius of 10 miles, say, because sometimes it takes 20 minutes to get from point A to point B versus a 10-minute radius. And so then they take the just information that anyone could get access to, but they collate it down for you, and they try to give you the information for your particular community. And so when we get this community report back, this is just the top of the community report, and so you can see things like our area of a 10-minute radius. There is 78,000 people in that, and there are 37 that is the median age. Now, why that's important is now I look at my church and I see what is the median age of my church. And I see that the median age of my church is 65. So we're a good solid 30 years older. It might be lower than that, probably somewhere around like 55 to 60, but we're a solid 20 to 25 years older than our community. That should be a warning sign. If you don't do something now, your church is going to die. Literally. And so our eldership is on this now. We got to figure out what do we need to do. And now we have all this information about our community. And so we look at these and we see things like how many single-parent households are there. This was a shock to me. In our area of Owosso, Oklahoma, a third of every single household is a single-parent household. So now I'm asking questions concerning who we are as a congregation. Are we doing Bible classes right for someone who is a single parent? That are they going to feel comfortable coming into our Bible classes and sending their kids to our Bible classes? Where's our section about what happens in those Bible classes on our website? How do we break past their internal intimidation? And so that's preemptively addressing their concerns, even on the website, that on the website I have pictures of our Bible classes, the classrooms, and maybe even some kids sitting there as well. We'll talk about permissions at another time as far as all that is concerned. But generally speaking, you want pictures of your people, not your building, on the website. All right? So how do we break past their internal intimidations? How are our service times helpful or a hindrance to single-parent households? Is having our worship at 9:30 in the morning, or 9 o'clock for us, having our worship time or our Bible class at 9 o'clock in the morning, is that a hindrance to someone that has a job that they're trying to work for their entire household? Is that going to be helpful, or is something like 2 or even something later like 7 o'clock going to be better? These are just questions that come up because of the information we gather about our particular community. And then we ask the question, who do we want to speak to? So this is in the marketing world where we're asking the question, who is our target market? And again, we're using marketing terminology today, but more specifically, who are we hoping for? Who is the ideal convert. And I know that in your minds, you have one word that maybe popped into your mind of the answer to that question. Everyone. And I get that. I understand. Come right back to you. But even when we think about what Jesus said, there are going to be some who they are going to be the seed that is thrown, and they produce 30, some 60, some 100-fold. There's going to be other hearts that aren't going to be productive. Generally speaking, I think that we want those good and honest hearts. Now, we need to just sow the seed. I get that. That is true, and we need to do that. But who are we trying to speak to? We're trying to speak to the good and honest hearts. So in our messaging, what are we saying to them? How are we reeling them in? And yes, the seed is being sown to all people, but how are we attracting their attentions? Because there's a lot of people vying for it. And perhaps you need to think as well about who you need to reach, because if you don't, you'll eventually die. So for instance, we're 20 to 25 years older in our congregation than the median age of our community. We got to be reaching some young people specifically, because if we don't, eventually we are going to die. There's a church in Texas that we work with that they see the future of that 70 to 80% of their school system, even though generally speaking it's about 40%, but 70 to 80% of their school systems are all Hispanic and the congregation is entirely white. And they're asking the question, how can we reach them? So then it changes how I write the advertising for that. I'm going over to Caleb George and I'm asking him, hey, can you translate this for me? And I'm saying something like, listen, we don't speak Spanish. And I realize that that could be a hindrance. However, what we do have is we have love in this congregation like you will not see anywhere else. And love of Jesus pushes past language barriers. That's the type of messaging that I'm giving to them to try to attract those people again, because if I don't, that congregation over time is going to become irrelevant to their community. So our congregations need to consider how we are speaking. So this gets to the idea of our branding. And this is the idea of messaging. You cannot know what your message is unless you know who you are as a congregation and who it is that you're talking to. Again, you cannot know what your messaging is unless you know who you are and who it is that you're talking to. I would suggest that most church brands are this. We are a church. When you look through those church websites and the church socials and you look at who it is that they say that they are, their church brand is, we are a church. And maybe even more specifically, we are an old church. Can I use your example, Marshall, of your Facebook page activity? Okay, so this was a few years back that Marshall was getting involved with having regular, even daily posts that he was putting up on Facebook. And as he was doing these regular, even daily posts on Facebook, they got a visitor that came to the church. And when this visitor walked in, what they said was, we came to your church specifically because we just looked around at all the church Facebook pages and we asked the question, are they posting regularly? And if they are posting regularly, then that means that there's someone who is young in that congregation, and so they probably have young families in that congregation. Because if your Facebook page is empty, that probably means that you are not active because you are skewing older in your congregation. They're probably not wrong.
That's getting too tough.
And so, in which case, sometimes, just even by silence, we are telling people things about us. And so if we're being silent, we're telling them perhaps that we are an old church. So good branding, good messaging are a few things. Good branding and good messaging is descriptive. That it actually communicates who you are in an easy to understand way. Good branding is descriptive. It says who you are in an understandable way. Good branding is unique. It separates you out and what makes you shine specifically. So look at your strengths. Look even at your weaknesses. As Dad was saying a moment ago, I always use Adam's statement there, is if you got skeletons in the closet, bring them out and make them dance. So if there are things that you are weak in, how can you project that to other people that we understand that we have this weakness, but here's the reason why, if you can turn it, here's the reason why this actually is something that you can find value in. So if we're a small church, that's a weakness to some people. But you know what? We're a family. Now, if there's weaknesses that we're talking about, sin or something like that, those things need to be corrected, and you don't need to try to spin those things. But how can we even make our weaknesses dance, as it were? So what makes you unique? What separates you out and makes you shine as a congregation? It needs to be something that's memorable as well. This is something that we maybe don't think about. But as you're doing messaging, it needs to stick with people, because if it's not sticky, then future, they're not going to think about you. They're going to forget you, because you didn't stick with them. So something like a catchphrase that you might come up with that you put up on your website that helps people to think about when they think about maybe a particular word, they think about the Stone Canyon Church of Christ. It needs to be memorable, and it needs to build trust. It needs to make people think positively about you. And when they hear the name Stone Canyon Church of Christ, they immediately think something like, that's a family. That they immediately think something like, they were kind to me whenever I was in need. So it needs to have all of these things. And so as we're thinking about branding in particular, we might even look at this. You might forget these four unless I give you the acronym, DUMB. You need to make your branding dumb. Dumb it down. Make it simple. Now you might remember that a little bit better next time that you're trying to think about as we're trying to put forward our messaging to the community around us. So let's do a little bit of an exercise here. As we're trying to think of something that's descriptive, unique, memorable, and builds trust, let's think about PTC. Now, for the moment, Dad has a statement that he would like to say concerning the branding of this is a work of these individual men, that they are not doing a work of the church here. So we have that disclaimer out there initially as we're going through this. But now let's think of the messaging for PTC. Let's give PTC a brand and messaging. What are some of the biggest strengths of PTC?
Sound Bible teaching.
All right, so we got here. This is awful handwriting because of this stylus in particular. Sorry, Mom. Sound Bible teaching. All right, what else?
Camaraderie.
All right, camaraderie. I don't know how to spell that.
C-O-M, period. We know what it means.
C-O-M dot, okay. Thank you. All right, what else? All right, there's good food here. Absolutely. We're going to come back to this, by the way. So, what else?
Love for the brethren.
All right, love for the brethren.
Building for the future. Edification.
Future.
Broth.
I do love broth.
Love for God.
All right, love for God. Anything else?
Brian Garlock.
Powerful singing.
All right. There is some powerful singing that takes place. All right, anything else?
Evangelistic.
Genuine.
Except for the food, if that would describe our congregations.
Yeah. Anything else there?
Yeah, good follow-up.
And so as we think about this and we think about what the messaging might be, let's think about for just a moment. Because I got all morning. I could spread it out however I want. As we're thinking about the messaging, what might be a solid 2 or 3 word catchphrase that we might use that we would put on the front of the website on PTC?
Go to PTC and look at it.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to we're rebranding today.
You said one word for everything?
No. A phrase. A phrase that catches attention. It's memorable. It's your brand of who you are.
Good God, good people, good food.
All right. Other thoughts. What of these do you think is probably the most vital strength? Okay, maybe the Bible teaching. But what makes it unique? That's not unique exactly to...
I'm preparing for the future.
There we go, I think.
That's what Ken wants all of us to...
That's what PTC's always been about. It's always been about preparing for the future. Godly men... to be able to bring forth the gospel. So how do we make that a brand? How
godly
do we do?
Godly men for the next generation.
Godly men for the next generation.
Preparing
good.
Preparing godly men for the next generation.
There we go. Is that exactly what's on the... All right, keep... No, don't say it. 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 Don't say it.
It's about preparing.
All right, keep going. All right, godly men now and for the future.
Building men for the future.
All right, good. What's that?
Bible-based brothers
for the future. All right, we're getting an alliteration there.
With base, all caps.
Other thoughts?
I like preparing godly men for the next generation. What if you came up with it? I didn't come up with it.
Let's try to simplify it. Let's try to shorten it. We're thinking about the future aspect of PTC.
It's a phrase that we're familiar with, tomorrow and today.
Well, I think we've got the idea of preparing men for the future, but we've got part of it. What are we preparing men for the future? That's the
right
part we need.
Yep, that's what I was trying to think
to
through.
To proclaim the word of God.
Right. So
proclaiming truth in Christ.
Building tomorrow's preachers today.
More alliteration. Preparing
proclaiming
preachers.
I like the word building instead because it's more simple. Preparing is a little bit, there's too much to that word. So if we said building men for future work, something like that. I don't know, but we could think through that. But I think that this idea of preparing for the future is what PTC has always been about. And so, all right. Providing training and resources to help men proclaim the word of God. Now, is that very descriptive? All right, is it unique? Okay. But maybe what it's missing is it's maybe not as memorable. It doesn't stick with you as much. And so there's different ways that we can try to help that out a little bit better. But that's the idea of branding today. But So let's give a 10-minute break. We'll start back up at 9:10, and we'll talk about platform. Thank you, guys.